Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, the Australian share market hits a nine-week high, oil a three-month low, and BHP shares hit a record. All of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 17th of June 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose. We'll have details in a few moments, and we'll also speak with CommBank's Belinda Allen about how Aussies are spending their money at the moment and what it says about the economy. But first to the Australian share market, which recovered from a lower open to finish 0.5% higher at a 9-week high, while energy stocks tumbled as the oil price fell to a 3-month low as investors wait for Friday's formal end to the Middle East conflict, BHP and Macquarie hit a record. Energy users like Qantas rose, so too Flight Centre despite a profit warning. Star Entertainment finished higher. Its former CEO, Matt Becchia, was fined $700,000 and banned from managing companies for 6 years. That's after the federal court found he didn't do enough to deal with money laundering risks at the casino operator. And ARN Media soared 31%, although shares in that company are still down 33% over the past 6 months. That's as the radio company settled a legal case brought forward by former employee Carl Sanderlands for $12 million. The day follows a record close for the Dow in the US and another good day for Elon Musk's SpaceX. For the details, I spoke with Cameron Gleeson, a senior investment analyst at BetaShares. Cameron, the ASX is high today. BHP is at a record high. Macquarie at a record high. Oil now at a three-month low. What's driving investor sentiment at the moment?
It's a real relief rally, isn't it? There's only one real reason for it, and that is this supposed peace deal in the Middle East, and the focus of that is really about the supply of oil through the Straits of Hormuz. Lower oil price reduces pressure on inflation, and that's a good thing for markets. You talked about BHP. BHP's performing exceptionally well for a long period of time now, with the strength in commodity prices, particularly copper, as it pivots its business towards the energy transition and these metals that are so critical to the AI build-out. Macquarie's been really interesting. There's a lot of talk about Macquarie disrupting the other four Australian banks. However, what's really driven its earnings in its May announcement was its commodity and energy trading business benefiting from a lot of the volatility we're seeing in energy markets and higher commodity prices. Obviously, there's been areas of weakness in markets, domestically focused companies, but a lot of winners too in the two names you pointed out there before.
Okay. Can we focus in on that oil price? It's now below 80 US for Brent. Is there potential for it to go even lower, back to levels we saw pre-war anytime soon? How will it get there? And what will be the implication for investors and interest rates?
We've seen that a lot of Wall Street firms have started to reduce their price expectations to around about the current levels of $80 a barrel by the end of the year. Citi itself has actually gone lower than that. I think that around about $80 a barrel seems about right. We've still got to think there's going to be a geopolitical risk premium placed on oil. We still need to see some of the mines that have been put in the Strait removed, the rerouting of shipping and the reconstruction on some of the oil infrastructure in the Middle East. So I expect that oil around about this level is probably around fair. Now, it's still lower than where it was. If it does come down any further, that again reduces pressure on central banks, means less rate hikes, less inflationary pressure. It's a good thing for markets. The one thing I would caveat though is that while this announcement of a deal is very exciting and we will likely see an uptick in terms of shipping through the Strait, there are a number of issues that still do need to be resolved and remain unresolved, such as Iran's nuclear program. So there still remains the risk that this escalates again, in which case we might see that energy companies actually take another leg up again after they've been falling a little bit recently on the weaker oil price.
You were talking about the potential for interest rate moves as a result of this. You know, investors are now waiting for that US Federal Reserve meeting. It's the first one chaired by Kevin Warsh, who's Donald Trump's pick. What's expected?
Yeah, so picked obviously on the view that he would be sympathetic to Trump's view as to having lower rates in the US would being a good thing. It's likely, and markets are really pricing in no change in terms of the Fed funds rate this time around. A lot of the focus will then be on the press conference, how he messages that. There'll be focus on what's called the dot plot, which is the expected long-term neutral rate for Fed funds or cash rates in the US. But really, it's all about that messaging. A lot of what Chairman Warsh has talked about has been the ability for things like AI to boost productivity, meaning you can lower rates. It's really going to be up to what we see in practice now that he's in the hot seat, though. Will we see that, in fact, you know, you do see productivity gains and lower inflation? Or is he going to face an environment where perhaps some of this massive AI capex spend leads to inflationary pressures? So, we'll wait to see what happens. Of course, Chair Powell, the previous chair, was actually appointed by Donald Trump, and Trump turned against him. We might see that Kevin Warsh faces the same sort of conundrum and, in fact, sees a hostile president.
Okay, you mentioned AI there as well. Let's talk about a company that's in the news at the moment. It's an AI company. It's a space exploration company and a satellite communications company, SpaceX, Elon Musk's. It's up another 5% today, so it means its share price is up around 50% since listing on the US share market on the weekend. Is it trading like a meme stock?
Yeah, IPO price, $135 a share, up to just over $200 a share as at close last night. So that's been a great result for, you know, so many retail investors that have participated on this. Don't forget, Elon Musk wanted to see a lot of retail investors benefit from participating in this IPO, and that's a good news story. Look, is it a meme stock? I think it's sort of important to sort of dissect it. It's clearly not a GameStop or one of these sorts of stocks. It is a real business with growing revenue. If we look at that business, you talked about the satellite business, Starlink, that's over $11 billion of revenue growing very quickly. The XAI business is now collecting $2 billion a month from Anthropic and also from OpenAI in terms of the data center revenue that they generate. So there's real businesses behind SpaceX, but it's going to have to perform exceptionally well, and Elon's going to need to be able to execute to perfection to meet these rich valuations. He's done it before with Tesla. We'll have to wait and see as to whether or not he can do it again.
Okay, and in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, so a lot of interest in those stories, such as SpaceX. We're really sort of focusing on the fundamental central bank policy and earnings growth here in Australia. We've just seen the RBA meet yesterday. Our view is that the RBA will remain on hold for some time. We think there's a degree of weakness in the Australian economy. And if we look at Australian equities, while commodities we think will do well, we think there's weakness in other parts of our equity market. If we look at the US, though, the earnings growth has been exceptionally strong. Yes, a lot of that's come through those AI names, but we think there's some resilience in the spending there. There's also been other areas of strength, such as energy companies. So we look at global earnings and we say that there's perhaps more attractive opportunities offshore than in Australia. Of course, we always want to remain vigilant, ensuring you've got a well-diversified portfolio. So defensive assets are going to be critical too.
That's Cameron Gleeson there from BetaShares. Let's go to some new data from the Commonwealth Bank, which shows a recovery in recreation and hospitality spending in May. That's as consumers feel more confident to travel internationally and attended major events here. While it's contributed to a 0.2% rise in overall spending, it follows previous choppy reads pointing to an economic slowdown. To find out what it means for interest rates following the RBA's decision to hold yesterday, Stephanie Youssef spoke with CBA Head of Australian Economics, Belinda Allen.
Belinda, what does this data tell us about the consumer and the state of the economy right now?
So although we did see a 0.1% lift in household spending in May, if we look at the annual rate of growth, so looking at how spending's tracking compared to a year ago, we are certainly seeing a slowdown occur as we had expected under the weight of higher inflation and higher interest rates. So I think it's just a reminder that the economy is slowing. It's what we had anticipated, and households are certainly taking the lion's share of the brunt of that slowdown at this point in time.
Discretionary spending is up. Why is that, and what does that tell us about how people are spending their money?
So in May, we did see discretionary spending recover, particularly in the recreation category, and also hospitality was quite strong as well in the month of May, and both of them come after weakness in April. So I think it's fair to say that discretionary spending in Australia is still quite choppy. I think it also shows us, and this is something that we've seen over the last couple of years, if there are particular events that households want to spend on, they still will. They are just getting, as I said, a bit choosier as to the total amount that they're willing to spend on and when. We also did see a recovery, particularly in the travel category. This was definitely one of the weakest categories in March and in April as well. So we have seen a pick back up in spending on areas like travel agents, airlines and accommodation. And I think that's just starting to see some confidence with talk that the war was going to be over soon, that households were kind of willing to go and dip their toe back into the travel category.
Despite the slight increase in overall spending, you do expect spending to slow in the second half of the year. How much are higher interest rates, inflation and falling house prices weighing on household budgets? And what would a further weakening in spending mean for the economy?
There are a number of causes of why we think spending will continue to soften in the second half of 2026. Definitely the lagged impact from higher interest rates will play a role, as will still inflation that is too high. Both of those factors are really going to weigh on household incomes in the second half of this year, and that's one of the key drivers of spending when we look at past experience. I think the new risk that you did mention is on the home price angle. We have definitely seen signs of falls in Sydney and Melbourne in particular, a slowing in home price growth in Adelaide, Brisbane and Perth. So that wealth effect, which is also another well-known driver of household spending over time, we do expect will also weigh on consumer spending over the second half of this year. So those three factors and also the weaker sentiment that we've seen as well should dampen household spending. That's going to drive Australia's economy slower. Remember, household spending makes up over half of the Australian economy, but we do need the Australian economy to slow. I think that's been made pretty clear from the Reserve Bank of Australia governor. We need to bring the Australian economy back into balance to ensure inflation comes back down. So we are expecting a slowdown in Australia's economy. And as a result, we don't anticipate the Reserve Bank of Australia needing to hike interest rates again and expect them to be on hold for the rest of this year.
So yesterday's RBA decision hasn't changed your outlook for interest rates?
No, so the RBA, I think, rightly so, are trying to ensure economists, market, the community know that they're still very focused on inflation. And if inflation proves more persistent than what we and the RBA are currently expecting, I think they will lift interest rates, but we're not expecting inflation to be more persistent. We are expecting growth to slow. That should bring inflation back down if we start to look through 2027. And as a result, we're happy to see our call that the RBA remains on hold in place.
Stephanie Youssef there speaking with Belinda Allen from the Commonwealth Bank, and she wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget to like, review and subscribe if you enjoy it. And you can watch On The Money during the SBS 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News. The podcast drops after the market close. It'll be back tomorrow and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
You you could fight traffic, hunt for a trolley, search three aisles, and still not find your pet's food. Or you could be here. With PetCircle.com.au, Australia's largest vet-approved range is delivered to your door with our next-day delivery guarantee to most metro areas. And while you're at the park, our price beat hustlers are checking prices, so you don't have to. Find it cheaper? We'll beat it by 5%. PetCircle.com.au. More park time, less parking lots. Conditions apply. See website.